Well, George Lois is a famous design artist and advertising man, best known for his work on Esquire covers between 1962 and 72. He was also behind the I Want My MTV ad campaign in the 1980s. He's known for being intentionally controversial and pushing all kinds of boundaries. George Lois will be in town on Thursday as part of Kansas City Design Week activities. In fact, I'll be interviewing him on Thursday evening at the Nelson Atkins. It's an honor to have the man who some regard as the original madman here with us. And George Lois, welcome. So good to have you here on Up to Date.
How you doing, Steve? It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, George.
So this is a warm-up for our talk on Thursday.
There you go. Let's get it right, okay?
You got it.
Well, most people who are younger don't have as much exposure to the 60s and 70s advertising culture, you know, except through Mad Men. But you wrote an op-ed for CNN, George, that was pretty critical of that show. What about it sticks in your craw so much?
Well, the show appalls me, basically because they... When they first announced that they were going to do the show, they talked about the fact that it was going to be a show about advertising in the 60s. And anybody who knows anything about the media world and the advertising world, when they heard advertising in the 60s, they're going to say, well, that's the story of the creative evolution of the 60s,
right,
which I helped trigger. And I was getting calls from people saying, oh, wow, it's going to be a great show, great show. Finally, I got a call from one of the producers there. And he said, you know, Mr. Lois, we're doing a show on this advertising in the 60s. We're talking to people who actually lived back at that time. And everybody who we mentioned, everybody we talked to mentioned your name. I said, whoa, time out. You never heard of me? You never heard of my name when you're doing a show in the 60s? They said, no, we know. I said, you guys are full of baloney. You know, and I chastised them and I said, why don't you get a hold of the first book I wrote, George, Be Careful, and it was basically an autobiography, and it talked about the advertising in the 60s, the whole revolution, creative revolution. And they called me back a couple of days later, oh, my God, what a great book. We could have done a whole show based on you. Instead, the show is about... it's nothing more than soap opera. It's sitting in a glamorous office. Or stylish fools are trying to jump their confused secretaries. They're sucking up martinis. They smoke themselves to death. They produce dumb, lifeless advertising. You know, they're oblivious to the whole civil rights movement, to the women's lib movement, to the Vietnam War, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I've always said, besides, when I was in my 30s, I was better looking than Don Draper.
That's not bad, George. I've heard that might be actually true, as a matter of fact. And, I mean, is there any element of that show that's accurate to that period in the culture, or is the whole thing just...
There's an accuracy to the stupidity of most of the marketing agencies, most of the agencies, some that still exist. The point is that they were doing a show in the 60s, and it was going to be this fantastic story of a heroic time in American in advertising in the world. You know, that was the creative evolution of the 60s when I started my agency after leaving the great agency, Doyle Dane Burnback. They were the first great agency, and then I left and started the second quote-unquote great creative agency in the world. And I can't tell you how, if you know anything about the period, I mean, that was a spectacular time with great, incredibly exciting, dramatic, you know, thoughtful, funny, tremendous advertising. You know, it was the golden age of advertising, actually. And then along comes a show of a bunch of bums. You know?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they didn't exist. But young people, you know, in schools, et cetera, and say, wow, how exciting, how romantic that period was. And I said, what's period? And I said to the young ladies there, what's it dramatic about the way they treated women? Why are you excited about it? So they got the culture all mixed up. The culture watching today is watching that show,
yeah,
and thinking that was advertising in the 60s. I'm being PO'd at it.
Yeah. Well, George, what was it about the 60s when you came along that enabled guys like you to really shatter the existing, you know, creative arts, you know, industry and remake it in something that was far more exciting and edgy and dramatic than it had been before? What allowed you to make that happen?
it basically was a time when the art director, when the visual part of advertising became dramatic and powerful, and that's what I led. All of a sudden, the art director was involved. You got to understand that before the 60s or before the mid 50s, both advertising agencies, the art director would sit in his room with his thumb somewhere in his nose, in his ear, waiting for a writer or an account guy to bring him words, and they would say make a layout. So the art director was never basically involved in the creation of the idea.
And you got yourself in the room, right, George? You wanted to be in the room when the ideas were kicked around because you wanted to push that envelope.
And nothing gets kicked around. It's me and the writer, or me by myself. I kick it around in my own head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't kick around with the group grope. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way. One of the things I teach young students today, and I warn them about group grope. Everybody in American business, American creativity is based on group grope. 6 in the room, 10 in the room, 12 in the room. Great creativity can't be created with 6 people in a room. You know, it's either one person or 2 people or possibly 3 people. You know, and everybody's shocked to hear that because American business is based on the idea of getting together, talking, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is complete nonsense.
You know, George, you loved controversy. You loved pushing the envelope. And yet you were working in an industry that was sort of known for its conservative take. I mean, the people who are paying your bill are these folks who are the companies themselves who didn't want to rock the boat. They didn't want to be too far out there and embarrass themselves. How did you manage to navigate a world like that for someone like yourself who wanted to be edgy and who wanted to push things?
What difficulty? You got to understand that you know, all these clients in American business are constipated, you know, and I come along with the bright, exciting, dramatic ideas, and I'm in trouble. You know, I mean, great advertising, ideas like that frighten people. They're shocked by them. You know,
yes.
My ideas are seemingly outrageous. When you hear a campaign of mine, you say, whoa, hold it. And then about 3 or 4 seconds later, you go, wow, that's a sharp idea, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares clients and the American business to death. You know?
But you must have had some absolutely legendary knockdown, drag-out fights, George, trying to get some of your ideas sold to some of your clients.
Oh, I mean, I'm telling you. One of the things I say is if you have to sell your ideas, and if you can't sell your ideas, if you really go on and on and on, you can't sell an idea. My last choice is to threaten to commit suicide, which I have done.
Well, didn't you? You said you were going to walk out a third story window once, or some story like that. Did you actually say that?
I mean, that's the it was my first year, a couple of weeks at Doyle Dane Birnbach, which I said was the first great creative agency, at that time they didn't allow art directors to talk to clients. Anyway, somebody came back, a account guy came back with a master poster I did, you know, for a good master, and he said they didn't like it. And I said, what do you mean they didn't like it? They didn't like it. I said, I ran up to see Bill Birnbach, the head of the place. He hadn't been there the day before for me to show them. And I showed him the poster, you know, it was a poster. And it said, you know, big monster. And it had Hebrew lettering on it that would appear in the subway, in the New York subways. And he looked at it, he said, oh, George, terrific. I said, well, but no, Bill's. They turned it down. He said, that's too bad. I said, Bill, you got to do me a favor. You got to get me to go to see the client, and so I can talk to him alone. And he kind of was a little shook up with that. This isn't what they used to do. And he set me up. And anyway, I run out to Long Island City, a 10-minute subway ride from Doyle Dane, and I walk into a room, and there's a 90-year-old, a master kvetch. I mean, I'm talking about a kvetch, you know.
Complainer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's surrounded by, and everybody at the ad agency knew it, and when I went there, they said, oh, my, Lois is going to get his ass kicked, you know. So I go into a room, and he's got his, it's a family business, and he's got this, his children and his grandchildren, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all in a room, you know, with this command performance, and I go on, selling the poster, and one by one, the younger people people say, gee, grandfather, I like that poster very much, very exciting. I don't like it. I went on and on. I don't like it. And more people got up. Gee, I like it. I don't like it. So finally, I didn't know what to do because I ain't going to go back to the agency without selling it. So I see it. I'm on the third floor, and there's a casement window there, and I go to the window. I open it. I step out, and almost, you know, with one leg hanging over in the air, held up the poster with the other hand, and I said, you make the monsters, I'll make the ads. He almost had a heart. In fact, I think it was a mild heart attack because he went to the floor. One of them put a pill under his tongue. You know, and they're fanning him, and finally 10 minutes later he's going, all right, he's saying with his great Jewish accent, all right, already, I'll take it. And finally, all his kids are looking at it, this whole scene with amazement. I start to walk out of the door. I said, I thank him for the way he treated me, and I walked out towards the door, and he says, wait a minute, young man. One more thing. If you ever quit advertising, I give you a job as a matzo salesman.
We're visiting with legendary ad man George Lois. He'll be speaking at 6 on Thursday evening at the Nelson Atkins. The event is presented by the Kansas City Design Week. For tickets, go to kcdesignweek.org. Well, George, we were talking about the controversy that you have stirred up in your career. There's another kind of controversy that has dogged you for years, and that is some of your competitors, your coworkers, actually thought you stole some of their advertising ideas. What do you say to them?
Are you kidding? I mean, why would I want to steal bad ideas? You know, if you're going to steal, stand ground. I mean, I steal for myself, you know. I never stole an idea in my life, you know. I mean, in my life.
But there are more than one person who has said that about you, George. A bunch of them have come out and said, hey, that was my idea that George Lois took from me.
Yeah, in fact, I want my MTV, the guy who became the head of MTV after, you know, I stopped working on the account said he did it. Everybody says everything I did was done by them. Believe me, why would I steal an idea? I mean, I got ideas by the millions, and they're my ideas, and I've got. Nobody has done as much advertising in the world as me. I swear, you know, I've done more advertising than 45 art directors. You know, and that's because hey, I'm 82. You know, why not?
George, did it all come to you kind of naturally? Did you just have the gift?
Yeah, it's a certain kind of talent. You know, it's like Picasso couldn't be a great art director, and Norman Mailer can't be a great art director. There's a certain kind of different kind of talent that it's a combination of understanding, really understanding the culture, a kind of street talk, and at the same time, a combination of the way I write, because I most of the campaigns I do are campaigns that I always think of words first. I really shock graphic art students when I say, whenever you're doing an ad campaign, start with the words. And they look at me and they say, what are you talking about? You have these great images. You have these great images. I say, no. You come up with the idea. You come up with the, I want my MTV. And then you get Mick Jagger to pick up the phone, which is a mnemonic visual. You know, he picks up the phone and says, I want my MTV. You put that thing together. Mm-hmm. But it starts with the words. You don't start with, you know, with Mick Jagger, you know, coming out and doing a dance, you know.
Hey, and what do you make, George, of the advertising world these days? As you look, you watch TV, as you read Esquire magazine and other magazines, what do you make of what's being done today?
Oh, it's brutally bad. Mm. Basically, from an advertising point of view, they don't know how to brand their products. You could sit and watch television. You could watch television for an hour, and I could say at the end of the hour, oh, by the way, By the way, Steve, what commercials did you just see? Let me see. I saw like a 2 or 3 car commercial. I saw it. Okay, what were the brand? What cars did you see? You can't name the car.
Yeah, right, right.
Ford. You see 3 beer. You can't name the beer.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't know how to. People tell you they don't know how to brand it. What they do is they try to write a 30-second or 60-second piece of some kind of a film, but they don't know how to brand. They don't have. When I do a commercial, I mean, I nail you. I mean, I knock you on your ass. I mean,
yeah.
You know the product, and great advertising in and of itself becomes a benefit of the product. I mean, the advertising. The food tastes better. You can make food taste better. You can make your cars run better. You know, you can make perfume smell better by doing great advertising.
Well, we're going to hire George Lois to rebrand KCUR for us. And, George, you and I are going to continue this conversation at 6 o'clock on Thursday evening at the Nelson Atkins. It's all part of KC Design Week. Tickets, kcdesignweek.org. George, what a pleasure to have you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun.
We'll see you on Thursday, okay?
Thank you, baby.
You bet.
Care.
Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date.